At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
When your purpose is clear, you wake up excited, you spend the day focused, and you go to bed happy and satisfied. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show on a fine Friday here in Lincoln, Nebraska, on 93.7 The Ticket. If you didn't know, now you know. The Adam Carriker Show is 2 hours long, twice the fun, and yet always still loaded. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time, 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Come grab your lunch. Come join us. Our goal is to be, and I think we hit it probably right around just under 50% of the time, our goal is to be smarter than the average dumb guy. But what you're going to hear, Husker sports, college football, sports in general, what you're going to get in the meantime is unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. This is seriously, again, a loaded show. Nebraska no longer going to play Tennessee. Eliminated the home and home. We're going to give our thoughts on that. There's an article out. I'm just going to read the headline right now. We'll talk about this actually at the top of the hour at noon. Matt Rhule confirms Dylan Raiola's frustration in Nebraska and hints at darker days ahead of the program. Sounds like an interesting title. We'll dive into that at the top of the hour. Also, Nebraska softball doing their thing. 9-3 after their best start since 2008. Teen Jordy Ball is she's playing really, really well. The Huskers are playing really, really well as well. There's a bunch of other Husker sports to give updates on in the meantime. Carriker's Trivia Challenge is back. That'll be around 12:30-ish, give or take. And then, as always, a whole bunch of random things along the way that I just happen to come across or I dig into, and with all my extra spare time that I wish I had, we'll be talking about that on the show as well. Matt Rhule did go on Josh Pate's National College Football Show, and there's some clips we're going to be sharing from there as well. We've actually got a bunch of clips from the softball game. David Pollock had a couple of interesting things to say. A Nebraska football commit who's undefeated in high school wrestling. He's going for a state title, I believe, today. Had some interesting things to say. So let's dive right into it. Off the top rope, Jake. Nebraska ducking Tennessee? Ducking? So the headline I was sent is Nebraska football ducks Tennessee and backs out of home and home. Now, that's one way to look at it. Oh, before we dive into this, okay, I thought this was very interesting. This was actually from Tuesday. I forgot to share it yesterday. Not to completely change sports topics and everything, but I just thought this was interesting. All right, as you know, America, USA has been playing Canada and hockey. All right, and here was the headline. In 1996, Keith Tkachuk, I hope I said that right, dropped the gloves with Claudio Lemieux 20 seconds into the game between Team USA and Canada. That was 1996. 29 years later, his two sons, Matthew and Brady, their two sons, dropped the gloves in the USA-Canada game this past weekend. 3 seconds into the game, the blood feud runs deep amongst hockey people, Jake. Like father, like sons is what the headline says. All right, let's get back to the Nebraska. I tend to go on diatribes and I forget things. I want to get that out there. I just thought that was like, obviously everybody knew that was going to happen. 3 seconds in. I like hockey. I don't completely understand certain things about it, but man, I love that part of it. All right. Nebraska football. Jake, are they ducking Tennessee? So what we're being told is they're going to be short seats in Memorial Stadium while they do the renovations. So that is revenue that they're missing out on. That is money that they're missing out on. And if you didn't know, college football is all about money now. And in fairness, revenue and making money and being able to pay players and pay your labor force and pay your workforce, kind of a big deal now. It's a part of the sport, whether you like it or not, whether you support it or not, it is what it is. So I understand that part of it. Hey, we're missing out on money that we could be making, which is going to directly affect the amount of players and the type of players that we can acquire. Okay, I get that. Do you also see this, though? They're trying to get that eighth home game. All right, instead of going to Knoxville, we're going to be playing, who do I got written down here? Bowling Green, Miami of Ohio. Man, bring on them MAC teams, huh? And Northern Iowa. Our good buddies from Northern Iowa are going to return back to Lincoln again. I believe that's the 2027 season. All right, Jake. Is this all just a bunch of hoopla and BS crap? Or are we running from Tennessee, or do you buy into this?
Well, I get the financial part of it. I get eight home games. I mean, that makes sense. It's frustrating as a fan. I think all fans are probably going to be united in this. And even though you get an extra home game, I'm sure a lot of us will be there in 2027 for that, well, Northern Iowa game or Miami of Ohio game.
Don't forget Bowling Green.
Right. Well, Bowling Green's in 2026.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
That replaced Tennessee in 2026. But it's obviously disappointing. You know, we've seen teams, and I wonder how much of this kind of factored into is, you know, Michigan 2 years ago won a title without really playing anybody in the non-con. Indiana made the playoffs this last year without playing in the non-con. Kurt Cignetti said this offseason, we're going to keep scheduling like that. So, you know, it's interesting. You play nine conference games. The big question here is down the line, the Big Ten and SEC are getting close to an agreement where they'd play each other, you know, one team from each conference, you know, every year. So you wonder how, if that could circle back around. But obviously, as a fan, it's just disappointing. This is a game we're looking forward to. And for a lot of people, I mean, heading to Knoxville would have been really cool. I mean, that's one of the best stadiums in you know, Neyland State, one of the coolest stadiums in college football. So I can't say I'm not disappointed. I do understand the value in having another home game and you know, just how much Nebraska and Lincoln specifically benefits from getting those home games. So I get it, but very disappointed by it. And if you haven't seen Tennessee athletic director Danny White is very disappointed by it as well. He tweeted out that Tennessee is not canceling the series. Nebraska did. We are very disappointed that they didn't want to play these games, especially this close to 2026. He's also quoted as saying similar thoughts here, but I think it's kind of unprecedented to pull out of home and home series this late with little notice. So I'm annoyed by it.
He said that. He said, I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah. He's not happy, and I understand.
Man, he is bus driving right all over Matt Rhule and our AD right there. Man, those are some honest, frustrating thoughts. As a fan, I don't like it. I want to see Nebraska-Tennessee. I want to see, my God, I want to see Michigan-Miami. I want to see Nebraska. I mean, you get to see more of these matchups because of the types of teams that are in the Big Ten now, from USC to Oregon to Washington, etc. But I want to see Nebraska take on these teams, and I want to see the big-time matchups, which we're getting more of with these super conferences, especially in the Big Ten and SEC. But it's a business. Matt Rhule has shown that he's going to do what he thinks is best, not necessarily what he thinks is popular. You had all these SEC people unjustifiably complaining. We play in the most tough schedule, the most tough conference in America, yet we didn't get in. Okay, but not once did they ever point to Austin Peay or the fact that they play eight conference games or the fact that most conference schedules for SEC teams were a joke, which they really were. You look at Alabama's non-conference schedule, it was a joke, okay? And they were the loudest voices in the room. We talked about that numerous times throughout the bowl season, the playoff season for college football, and the holidays. But it's been proven the college football playoff committee is going to go by wins and losses. They go by you are what your record says you are. But to be clear, I don't completely buy into that. Its strength of schedule is up and down. It varies. I'll tell you right now, the SEC teams do not want to go to a nine-conference game unless they get four automatic bids like we talked about with the CFP changes earlier this week. Then they'll be happy to go to nine conference games. Why? Because they can absorb half their teams getting an extra loss. Whereas the Big Ten, already there's an additional nine losses across the board for the 18 teams because they're playing an additional conference game. My point is simply this. Okay, if you want to get into the college football playoff, there's a lot more reward, whether we like it or not, for beating Bowling Green than there is to lose to Tennessee or to lose to some of these teams potentially. If you beat them, obviously, that's going to jump you up even more. Nebraska is a football program that's trying to get on the rise. It's trying to get in those conversations. Okay, the CFP conversation, a Big Ten title conversation, and conversations that we were accustomed to being a part of for a very long time in the Big 8, the Big 12, and we're trying to get back into those conversations, championship-type conversations, playoff-type conversations, now that we're in the Big 10. The reality of the situation is you need to make more money so you can acquire better players, so you can win more games. Also, if you want to be in the CFP conversation, you need to win more games. They will put more emphasis on a team with an extra win than they will a team with a much tougher strength of schedule but an extra loss. The only exception to that might be like the G5 teams aren't going to get that benefit of the doubt. So there's a line, there is a limit to that. But also, like even if you're a Big 12 or ACC team compared to the Big 10 SEC, SMU got in over three-loss SEC teams. And I always argued none of them belonged in. There's too many teams in. SMU didn't belong in. Alabama didn't belong in. You can't have three losses and a god-awful loss to Oklahoma and Vanderbilt, who were a combined 500 on the season, I might add. And you got boat raced by 21 to Oklahoma. Like, those are just awful losses. So for me, I didn't think any of them deserved to be in, but the committee showed you. We're going to put in an SMU team with a pathetic schedule over some of these SEC teams who at least play some decent conference games, even though they play one less conference game and their non-conferences aren't phenomenal. Like wins and your win-loss record, they're going to go by your records. You are what your record says you are, more so than the strength of schedule. And so if I'm Matt Rhule and I'm Troy Dannon, I have to take that into consideration. I can't help but almost harken back to Bill Snyder. You remember when Kansas State was probably the worst college football program in America before Bill Snyder? Like, we're talking the 80s and 70s. I think they were ranked dead last in America. Bill Snyder came in and it was like a bakery. It was one cupcake after another, year after year after year. And he said, we've got to win games. We've got to get used to winning. And the W's in the win column are going to matter more than playing tougher teams and losing. So it was to him, it was about, and he built it through JUCO, the JUCO guys. L. Roberson, Darren Sproles, guys like that who were phenomenal players, JUCO guys. So he went the JUCO route. He scheduled the bakery schedule every year, cupcake after cupcake after cupcake, and you look at what he was able to build. I'm not saying Nebraska should do the same exact thing, but I could argue it's a similar mindset to we've got to start winning more games. We've got to get back to used to winning more games. If you want to be in these conversations, you have to have more W's in the win column, not necessarily a better strength of schedule in the SOS strength of schedule column. As a fan, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. But I have to take my fan hat off. I got to take my, okay, I'm going to try to put myself in Matt Rhule and Troy Dannon's shoes hat on, and that's what I would see.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Do I like that we backed out of the home-and-home with Tennessee? No. Am I mad about it? No. It's a business decision, and I understand it. Any other thoughts there, Jake?
Yeah, no, I get the idea. You know, I get all that behind it. It's just for us, and it's going to be tough as a fan. I mean, look at 2026-2027's schedule right now. The non-con is Ohio, Bowling Green, and North Dakota. And then the next year, Northern Illinois, Miami of Ohio, and Northern Iowa. Now, again, Bowling Green, Ohio, Northern Iowa, Illinois, we saw this last year, get a huge win. I mean, these are still games you're going to have to go out there and win. But the excitement meter for a Husker fan in September, getting ready for the season, I'm not sure. So I don't think Nebraska's ducking Tennessee, by the way. Nebraska, as we've seen this last year, has played very close to a lot of the competition, the national champions even, right? So I don't think it's necessarily, oh, we're scared or anything like that. I think this has come down to money, but it sure is frustrating. Somebody off the text line pointed out, kind of reminds you of, remember when Bill Moos explored the idea of getting the Oklahoma series off the books right before the 2021 season? And man, there was almost like a a fan. The fans were so upset, and so they ultimately decided not to do that. But you know, that was the same type of thing. It was kind of like, okay, well, 2020 season, we didn't really get anybody in. Now we can get another home game in here. So I mean, it's all about home games and making that money count. But it's just frustrating. And I do want to point out that Tennessee is not completely void of fault here, because this was a series that was scheduled back in 2006 by Steve Peterson. And they ultimately had to move what was scheduled to be a 2016-2017 series, because Tennessee scheduled Virginia Tech for that Bristol series, which was really cool, Bristol Motor Speedway. But you know, that's what made this move all the way back. It's just crazy that in the modern day schedules, whenever we hear, oh, Nebraska's scheduled for this team 10 years away, I always be like, yeah, we'll see. You know, this one lasted for 20 years before it's just like, ah, we're going to scrap it.
So basically you're saying it's okay that, well, we're not doing this because it was scheduled by Steve Peterson. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're getting at?
It does have Steve Peterson's fingerprints on it, yes. So maybe it's good to get rid of it.
I think this is what you're going to see. You're going to start seeing more teams, for a couple of reasons, scheduling similar non-conference schedules to what we're laying out for Nebraska in the next few years. Not a lot of tough teams, not a lot of big name teams, because you're not going to be rewarded enough for it. You're going to be punished too much for a loss, even if it's to a strong opponent. That's number one. All right. The other thing is, some of these teams are now going to play 16 games to win a national title. The pounding week after week that you take in a conference like the Big Ten, the SEC, which way more, probably like 85% of the national champions, with all due respect, going forward are going to come from the Big Ten and SEC. I know Miami, they're capable of rising up, and Florida State's capable of rising up and disappearing. So is Miami, Clemson, all these other schools. Not all these, there's literally about four or five, and I just named most of them, with all due respect. The Big 12 had, in the past 3 years, they have one top 25 recruiting class, and that was TCU, number 24, actually, this past year. They're just... The Big 12 is the most entertaining conference. It's the most balanced conference. I've called it America's conference. Outside of the Big Ten, it's the one I watch the most, because the games, the teams are the most even, and it's the most interesting. It also lacks top teams and top-tier talent on any one particular team. The ACC, as god-awful as it is top to bottom, they've got about three teams that have the talent to compete at a high level. So my point is, really outside of like Clemson, Florida State, Miami, I guess Notre Dame's an independent. So outside of those four teams, maybe there's a wacky wild card team every year. So let's say every year there's about five teams that even have the chance outside of the Big Ten and SEC to even be in the conversation. And everybody else you're going to talk about is in the Big Ten and SEC. That just is what it is. The other 95% of the teams. So when you're beating each other up week after week after week after week in these conferences, the Big Ten and the SEC, and then you get to the playoff. And if we actually start moving these playoff games up closer to championship weekend, and you don't have 25 days off, which was, as we've discussed, actually hurts you, all of a sudden you got this beat up team, and it's much like the NFL. Like, that bye week is huge for the number one seed in the NFL. That's the reason the Vikings and the Lions. Did you watch that Sunday night game where the Vikings and Lions played with the number one seed in the NFC on the line? The winner was the number one seed, and the loser was the number five seed. The Vikings ended up going to the number five seed. Now, they both got eliminated before the Super Bowls, we know. But that was like an NFC title game type atmosphere if you watched that game. That meant something. So if we keep spreading out all these college football playoff games, the bye week is actually going to hurt you, and people aren't going to want it. People are going to want to lose their conference championship game, et cetera, et cetera. I do think these things will be remedied over the next couple of seasons. There's going to be major changes after this next college football season. And then 2031, the entire landscape of college football is going to just completely change. We can dive more into that in the future. We talked about some of the changes coming after this upcoming college football season per the college football playoff. The buys are going to look different. There's going to be 14 teams or 16 teams. There's going to be automatic bids, four from the Big Ten, four from the SEC. But my point is, in the meantime, you got these teams that are playing the top teams week after week after week. You're not playing, how do I say this? You're not playing, like, if in the old Pac-10, you had to worry about, not even Oregon. Oregon wasn't even good in the old Pac-10. It was Washington from time to time. It was USC, UCLA every now and again. And then 1 year in 96, Arizona State was a dynamo. It was like you had to get up for three games a year. Maybe you schedule one non-conference opponent. So it was really, if you're a national title contending team, it was about four games a year. Four games that were a joke, and then four games,
Well, as long as we show up and play well, we'll win. Now it's week after week after week after week. And so why would you add more? As a fan, hate it. I want to see big brands versus big brands, best teams versus best teams. That's what I want to see. If I'm looking at it from Rule and Dan's point of view, why would I beat up my team more and more and more when all that matters per Ohio State is what I do once I get into the playoff? We have a better chance of getting in. We have a better chance of making more money with the extra home game and getting better players, which is going to allow us to be better. And we have a better chance of not being beaten up once we get into the playoff. I hate everything about that logic as a fan. If I'm Rule and I'm Dannon, that's my logic and that's my reasoning. Thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Again, I think this it makes sense. It's just frustrating as a fan. And I'm interested to see, you know, where this moves forward, right? I mean, how many teams are going to go about this? And the SEC and the Big Ten specifically, like you said, it can be a gauntlet. I mean, they consider themselves, each one of them, the extra NFL conference or whatever it might be. How many teams are going to do that compared to potentially if we move forward and make just the conference games counts and four teams get in from the SEC and Big Ten one way or the other, that idea might lean yourself toward, okay, well, then we can have these dynamic non-con matches. They don't really matter as far as getting into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And we all make money on big brands facing each other to begin the season. So I don't know. I would guess now that along with the SEC, Big Ten potentially having that scheduling partnership, but by the time 26-27 comes around, that might not be the schedule anyway.
So yeah, just to revisit one thing that I mentioned earlier this week, Jake brought it up again. If you go to basically, hey, it's the top four teams, there's going to be play-in games. So as we 3-6, 4-5, so it turns into 24-team playoff, as we discussed earlier. You know, let's say there's 16 teams in the playoff, but the top four teams from the Big Ten and top four teams from the SEC get in. But really, it's 3-6, 4-5 have to fight for the third and fourth spots in the Big Ten and SEC. You've created play-in games, which are really more playoff games, which is really a 24-team playoff game. But all that matters is your conference record. Then all of a sudden, like Jake said, now all of a sudden you can schedule these big non-conference games. And I would have no problem. Well, they've already got like two bye weeks. In the NFL, I've always thought they should have a second bye week. I was going to say, I have no problem giving them an extra bye week if you're worried about the teams getting beat up for this longer college football season. But you've already got two bye weeks. I don't know if you need a third. But my point is, there's pluses and minuses to some of the changes that are coming in the college football playoff. Some of those pluses and minuses is you're going to eliminate the importance of the college football playoff committee because it's about the top four teams in the Big Ten, top four teams in the SEC, top two ACC, top two Big 12. Okay, which puts you at 12 teams. And if it's a 14-team playoff, then you've got the G5 team and then you've got the at-large, which is probably Notre Dame or the next highest rated team. And all of a sudden, other than seeding, the rankings don't really matter. It's about, am I one of the top four teams? The only thing that matters is my conference games. And then those non-conference games, to Jake's point, you can schedule big name brands. The only thing that sucks is it doesn't matter. Like, we play Tennessee and we lose. It's a big game, but it doesn't matter if we lose. So that's the only downside to that. My final takeaway, I was not excited when I saw this. When I take my fan hat off and I think about it from Rule and Dannon's point of view, I get it. I would not hate a world where... Yeah, everybody had to play a similar... I know it's a crazy concept. Everybody plays a similar schedule. Everybody, regardless of the conference. Like, let's start with everybody playing 9 conference games. Then maybe everybody plays a G5 team. And maybe everybody plays one other power conference team. And if the SEC and Big Ten want to have a scheduling agreement, then it's always Big Ten SEC. Maybe it's a Big 12 ACC. And that gets you to 11 games real quick. Whatever you want to do with that 12th game... I've never been a fan of playing FCS teams. You can, whatever. I don't know, with that 12th game, maybe you play two G5 teams, but every team has to play one power conference team, so to speak, along with your 9 conference games. And there's your 12 games every year, and then the playoff and play-in games go after that. So to me, I have this crazy idea of everybody's schedule should be relatively similar. Or, I don't know, maybe the same. Like a 9-2-1. 9 conference games, two G5 teams, but you have to play at least one power conference team. I mean, I don't know. Is that hard to figure out? Am I crazy for proposing such a thing?
I don't think so. I mean, hopefully at some point, you know, it's always hard. It just depending with the college football playoff up in the air, not knowing what that's going to go to, you know, the conference realignment now seems to be put off for a while, but
2031, yeah, it's coming.
Eventually that'll jump back up again.
Yeah.
You're just kind of making rules and trying to do with whatever that year looks like. And that can be tough to do from 3 or 4 years out.
So just FYI, you keep hearing the top 40 or 50 teams, top 40 or 50 teams. The world where the Big Ten and SEC run college football is here. They have all the power when it comes to the CFP. Talked about that earlier. It's literally mandated now. The ACC, Big 12, and G5 teams said, here, we're going to bend over, spank us like a four-year-old in Kmart. You get all the power. So they've got the power, but the world where they are officially the two conferences that determine the national championship, 2031 is when things are really going to start going that way. But it's this novel concept where if everybody's playing one power conference team in their non-conference and everybody's doing it, then all of a sudden to do it isn't a disadvantage. Because Nebraska is going to look at Indiana and be like, well, look at how they got rewarded. Look at how SMU got rewarded. And then look at some of these other teams like Florida. Oh my God. They do have an NFL schedule. Somebody hates the Florida Gators, whoever scheduled their games last year and this year. I can chat about that when we come back if you want. I'm not a Florida Gator apologist. Of the three Florida teams, they're the one team I dislike the least. It's always been that way. But oh my God. They play like 8 of the top 21 preseason favorites to win the national championship. 8 of them. 8 out of the top 21 preseason favorites to win the national championship. But what if everybody played a similar schedule? Then all of a sudden, hey, it's like Indiana doesn't have an advantage versus Florida versus this team. It really does come down to just your conference then and who you play within your conference. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.